church. We are in church. That's powerful. Thank you very much. Always. We can always count on that. And it's a huge blessing for us. And what a gift to have the scripture today. All right? Because this, you know how sometimes it seems like God's trying to find the most obscure scripture there is and try to preach on something you never heard of. And then Bill gets up there today and he starts reading, going, oh, I know that. I know that one. And you're like, I hope he has a text. I know that one. That's from the Sermon on the Valley. I mean, the Sermon on the River. No, the Sermon on the Mount. That's it. The Sermon on the Mount. And everybody knows that that's part of the time when Jesus started the ministry, the Sermon on the Mount. And most of you probably know that he doesn't open the Sermon on the Mount with, you are the salt of the earth. What does he open it up with? What are they called? The Beatitudes. All right? And you know how that goes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are meek. Blessed, 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 blessed. Jesus starts that sermon by saying to the people, you are blessed. Blessing, blessing, blessing. It would be like if you went to school and the first day of class, the professor gets up there and says, everybody's got an A. First day of class, you've already got an A. You haven't done anything, and you already have an A. And then, of course, the professor goes on to tell you how you can lose that A, all right, by not doing all the assignments, by not, you know, getting all the questions right and all that. But you start off with all that blessing, and that's how Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, you're blessed. It's not about what you can achieve. You can't achieve the blessing. You can only receive it. You can't work for it. You can't become poor in spirit. You are poor in spirit. You are pure in heart. Blessing, blessing, blessing. He is reminding the people that they have been blessed. But it's kind of a passive blessing. You don't do anything to achieve, you just receive. But then he moves on. He doesn't end the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. He moves on, and now he's moving us from being blessed to reminding us that we are also called to be a blessing. You are salt. You are light. He doesn't say you need to be salt. He doesn't say you could be salt. He doesn't say work harder so that you can be saltier. He doesn't say assault the earth. He says you are salt. You are salt. This isn't Hamlet, to be or not to be. That is a question. It's not a question. It's a statement. It's a declaration. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And why is he telling us that? Because the salt and the light is very much needed. When a world is consumed with darkness, it needs light. When it has lost its flavor, when it has lost its taste, it needs salt. It all of these things are an important greeting about who we are, the way that's supposed to work. FDR, president, member time, you like four, seven, I don't know, 3,000 times he was president. He was president forever. But he was president in a crisis situation for our country. You talk to the people who served with him and who met with him. They said, you know, he was not the smartest person in the room. When you went into a meeting with FDR, you weren't meeting with a genius. You were not meeting with someone. Chances are he wasn't even as smart as you were. They said, but when you left that meeting, you left with a spirit of optimism and positivity. He had a way of sharing encouragement and hope that no matter what the crisis was, no matter what the issue was, that we were going to be able to get over that. And some of you may remember, studied it in history, the fireside chats. And he would get on, because they didn't have it, you know, on the radio. And there it was. The country's going through the worst depression it had ever, ever had, ever. All right? Everything. And then they get World War II going on. They have all these crises going on. And he gets on the radio and he gives people encouragement and he gives them hope. And you've been blessed that way in your life. Just take a moment. Think of a teacher, a mentor, a friend, a family member, a loved one. And maybe you were struggling with something and they helped you to believe in yourself. And you knew they weren't just talking it. They sincerely believed it. They had a way of getting to you and telling you, you've got this. You've got this. You can do whatever it is, whatever that challenge is, you can face this. Whatever that obstacle is, you can overcome it. Whatever wounds you are going to be healed from this. You may carry a scar, but you will not carry the wound. You will be healed. You will be healthy. You will be whole. That person who had that gift to be able to reach you in that way. And it makes all the difference. That's why Jesus is telling us this. You are the salt. You are the one that makes the difference. So we're not called to be a warehouse of salt. Just get all the salt together and store it all up in one place. No, you go out into salt is in relation to other things. Salt draws out the flavor of the food. It brings it out. That's what we do. We go to the people out in the world and we bring out their goodness. They don't know that they're good sometimes. And we're able with that word, with that gesture, with that action, we remind them of the truth of who they are. And who they are is a child of God. So many times, you know, you've heard me say before, the church had a terrible history for a while. You know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You are nothing but a spider hanging by a thread over the fiery pits of hell. Well, that encourages you. You bring forth that goodness. If you've studied history at all, you know salt also works as a preserver. You help preserve the goodness that is in that person when they're going through the bad times and the hard times. You help preserve that identity so that other people and other voices don't have them lose who they are. Salt even helps with the future. Now, not so much down here, but up north, do you know they have this thing called snow and ice? And if you've ever lived in those places, you know that one of the most important things to have is a salt truck. You need salt. And when that salt gets spread on sidewalks or on streets, what does that enable? It enables people to move forward. That's what you do. You draw forth their goodness because it's in them. God created them. So God is inside that person, but sometimes it gets buried in lust. And you, as the salt of the earth, you draw that forth. You bring that forth. You help them face the future. You're the light of the world. Jesus says, you're not going to become the light. He says, you are the light. Be who I created you to be. Be the beacon of hope. That's what lighthouses, they're beacons of hope and of danger. Don't get too close. It's dangerous here. There's rocks here. Or it's also a beacon of hope. You're lost at sea. Here's the harbor right here. Here's a place of safety. Here's a place of refuge. Here's a place when you're overwhelmed by darkness that shares the hospitality of God's love and God's grace. It illuminates the presence of God. Do you remember Toni Morrison's book, Beloved? Did y'all ever read that?
Yes.
Towards the end of the book, there's a conversation, I think it's towards the end of the book, between Sikso and Sita, who are the two former slaves. And Sikso had met a woman a few years earlier, and he called her the 30-mile woman. The 30-mile woman, because he had to walk 30 miles to get to her and spend time with her. And he starts telling Sita about her and said how this woman just changed his life and how she had met him in all of his brokenness and over the time had been able to help mend his life. And in my imagination, I hear Sikso talking with an island accent, okay? And he said, this is what he says. She takes the pieces that I am and she'd give them back to me in all the right order. It's good, you know, to have a friend of your mind. Jesus knows that. He knows that's what the world needs. People who are willing to be a friend of the mind and of the heart and of the soul for other people. Because there is brokenness all around us, and we know that because there's brokenness within ourselves. There's not a person in this sanctuary who has not been broken. All of us. And God has taken those places, even in those broken places of our lives. And God gathers all those broken pieces. And God blesses them. And God redeems them. And through that redemption process, God makes us whole. And we are all now in the right order, restored of our identity, able to be the person that God created us to be and blesses us to be with His love. And sometimes this comes to us in surprising ways. I remember it's been decades now, when Worship and Wonder was active. Remember when we, before the COVID, there was a time before COVID. And the Worship and Wonder room, and the children would gather there and they had their own worship service. It wasn't babysitting. It was a real live worship service designed and created for children, to be able to worship in a way in which they would feel comfortably led. And at the end of their service, they would have the Bible story and they have an opportunity to process how that story was working and whether sometimes that would be through crayons or clay or whatever it may be, how that would work out. And then towards the end of that time, that worship time together, they would have their feast. That's what they would call it. They would call it their feast. And it would be like goldfish, crackers, and apple juice. You know, and just a little bit, you know, in a cup, and then a little napkin and out. And one day, one Sunday, and during the worship service, during that part of that worship service, all the children, they all sit in a circle. One of the children, totally unscripted, got up out of his place on the circle and went to each child's plate of crackers and put his hand on them. As a blessing, go to the next job. As a blessing, go to the next job. As a blessing. That's what you do. That's what you do. You go into the lunchroom and there's somebody there and you listen. You're meeting somebody in the hall and you can see they're troubled and you listen. You help people when they're brokenness and they're trying to hide, and you let them know it's not going to get better if you hide it. Let me help. Let me support. Let me tell you how God can take even broken pieces and through love and grace make them whole. And you share your story and you share your love and you share God's grace. You see, because Jesus didn't begin the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes only. He doesn't end it with the Beatitudes. He ends it with the sending forth. Be the blessing I, my Father, my heaven, my God, created you to be. The world is in desperate need of God's goodness drawing forth, of God's light shining out, of sharing love and grace to all people. Amen.
Amen. Amen.